Welcome to Plenary 3, Space Initiatives in the Asia-Pacific Region. Our first speaker this afternoon will be Dr. Yasushi Horikawa, who is the project manager for the Japanese Experimental Module on Space Station, and he is based in Tsukuba. In compiling the material for this plenary, I'm very conscious that there are very few countries can afford to build and manage, operate what we might refer to as an end-to-end space system. Some countries in this region, of course, do that successfully. China, Japan, India. Others have carved niches for themselves in this region. There are countries such as Australia who are just starting out to participate in space activities. What we need to do is investigate those initiatives that can lead to enhanced cooperation in the region. And I think from the outlining the speakers and their affiliations, you will understand that we all have something to offer each other in terms of building the capability for the Asia-Pacific region. We have NASDA represented, who, as I said, is a major space force in the region. ISRO, another major space force in this region, a relatively speaking small country. Thailand, who has a growing space industry. And the University of Surrey, based in the United Kingdom, but with a considerable number of interests in the region and a history of success in supporting the growth of space activities in nations that are looking for affordable access to space. I have provided a summary in the program, and I don't wish to go through that. But there are initiatives taking place, particularly in small and microsatellite areas, that are creating those opportunities for affordable, achievable access to space, opportunities that we don't need to think of as requiring the investment of hundreds of millions of dollars, but in fact for the orders of tens of millions of dollars, we can actually do something useful. And of course, as the technology advances, we become smarter, systems become smaller, we can accomplish a lot technically and in the production of goods and services, space-based goods and services, for the communities we serve. We're finding that we're having to compromise less and less simply because we're going smaller and smaller. In fact, the opposite might well be true. With that introduction, I'd like to now introduce our first speaker, Dr. Yasushi Horikawa from NASDA, to talk on his program.
Thank you very much for your kind introduction, Mr. Chairman. Distinguished guests, ladies and gentlemen, it is my great honor and my privilege to participate in this plenary event 3 of the IAF in Melbourne and to speak about and discuss space initiatives in the Asian Pacific region. It was a little uncertain for me how and what I can respond to this subject, but I would like to present this subject from Japanese perspective as the current project manager of Japan's space station project. First, I would like to introduce the history and current status of the major Japanese space programs. As it was introduced by Dr. Godai of NASDA last evening, Japan's first artificial scientific satellite was launched in 1970 by an Institute of Space Aeronautical Science, ISAS, solid rocket booster. In 1969, prior to this first Japanese satellite, NASDAQ was established to develop launch vehicles and artificial satellites for application use. We consider this the starting point of actual Japanese space development. Japan's first effort in space development were to acquire application satellites, such as communication satellite, broadcasting satellite, and meteorological satellite, and to develop appropriate launch vehicles. The first generation of those satellites was launched by the United States. By learning U.S. space development methodology and introducing existing U.S. technologies for launch vehicles, Japan was able to accumulate space technologies and enhance its capabilities. From the early 1980s, Japan took up the challenge of developing world-class high-performance launch vehicles and geostationary satellites with fully domestic and unique technologies and with no support or procurement from foreign countries. It took more than 10 years to finally achieve success. During this development period, Japan continued space programs for application satellites and provided those satellites to national users under the umbrella of U.S. technologies. Japan also contributed to the Earth observation programs by receiving data from foreign satellites and providing the data to the users, and later on by developing our own Earth observation satellites. In 1992, Japan's NASDA opened a new era of space development by successfully launching the first H-2 rocket, a launch vehicle incorporating totally Japanese technology. NASDA proceeded with its space development by centralizing on using this large-scale vehicle and achieved consecutive success in launching satellites. However, Japan had to face serious difficulties and issues. One was open commercial trade with non-tariff barriers. Some Japanese space development, which was fully funded by the government, was said to violate free trade laws. Another problem was that newly developed large-scale launch vehicle was too expensive and could not compete commercially. Under these circumstances, Japanese space development policy had to change abruptly. It was decided that space development in NASDAQ, which was funded by the government, should be focused in research and development only. Under this policy, NASDAQ could develop only research and development satellites whose purpose was to acquire future advanced technology. Furthermore, to achieve a commercially competitive launch capability, NASDAQ took on the technical challenge of developing the less expensive H-2A launch vehicle with the goal of realizing almost half the recurring cost of the original H-2 vehicle. In addition, NASDAQ also decided to focus primarily on the space station program, Earth observation programs, and research and development. In the process of implementing these changes, NASDAQ faced many satellites and launch vehicles anomalies and failures. In 1994, for example, our ETS-6 satellite failed to achieve a geostationary orbit. Then, in 1997, our ADIOS Earth observation satellite failed 1 year after its launch. Most recently, there was the 1998 launch failure of Comet, an advanced communication satellite. You can see from this that in its early phase of space development, NASDAQ simply followed in the footsteps of more space-experienced and knowledgeable countries. However, once NASDAQ reached an equivalent level with those countries, we realized that we must open new doors to cultivate all technical aspects based on our own judgments and decisions. From these lessons learned and experience accumulated, Japan will work together and cooperate internationally with other countries while maintaining autonomy in technical decisions and implementations. In May of this year, as Dr. Godai said, NASDAQ's activities were evaluated by selected experts in various fields from all over the world. This evaluation included NASDAQ's overall activities in space transportation, Earth observation, satellites, the International Space Station, and research and development. NASDAQ has been receiving many precious and valuable comments from the members of this evaluation. Based on the evaluation of these selected experts and our own deliberations, we found that Japanese space programs face several potential issues. These include less understanding of the significance of space development. It means people are not well aware why we should make space development. As everybody knows, financial restraints due to the national economic situation, shortfall in technical experts in Japan, lack of altruistic industrial motivation, it means that industry should have more aggressive motivation on the technical innovations. Less competitiveness among the industries within Japan or even with foreign companies. Lack of appeal to the public. Under these circumstances, we must change and overcome the difficulties, sometimes step by step or sometimes abruptly. I think some of these issues or problems are more or less held in common with other developed or developing countries. We would like to share the work of solving these issues with all other interested countries. In the area of international cooperation, Japan or NASDAQ has established many meetings and cooperative projects. These cooperative activities are initiated not only with technically advanced countries, but also with many Asian Pacific countries that are in the early stage of technical development. With regard to the latter, NASDAQ is currently conducting the following cooperative activities. First, in the field of Earth observation from space, Japanese Earth observation satellite data has been received and disseminated to users in Australia, Thailand, China, Indonesia, and Korea. Furthermore, joint research utilizing this Earth observation data is being conducted with Australia, Thailand, China, Indonesia, Malaysia, and Singapore. In addition, some pilot projects for utilization and application surveys are being conducted with the above-mentioned countries as well as with the Philippines and Vietnam. The Earth observation area has thus been well coordinated and cooperative activities initiated with many interested countries. More productive and detailed studies will be encouraged. We understand, for example, that the Earth observation applications of most interest in this region are the mitigation of damage from natural disasters and disaster warning with land topography and plantation surveys following closely behind. More specifically, with regard to space initiatives in the Asia-Pacific region, two things are recommended. The first recommendation is to enhance or promote the remote sensing data application by acquiring more precise knowledge and by predicting the change of the natural phenomena. It is critically important that remote sensing data be supported with proper calibration and validation. In order that we might utilize this data efficiently and effectively. We welcome the many countries in this region to participate in for such calibration and validation programs as a kind of grassroots activity. Participation at the grassroots level will have the added benefit of instilling a better understanding of and appreciation for applying space-based system to improve the quality of life of the general public here on Earth. At the same time, the acquisition of ground truth data at various places will provide NASDA valuable feedback with which it will be able to enhance such remote sensing applications. The second recommendation is to promote the knowledge of space developments throughout the region. The people living in this region should become more involved in space issues, not only for utilization, but also for development. Certainly, the grassroots activities I mentioned above is one means of achieving this. However, we must also promote education and communication of the benefit of space applications within the regions. A low-cost communication system or satellite-based system for accessing World Wide Web information would be a very effective means of achieving this end. Enabling every community in the Asia-Pacific region to access the internet would certainly stimulate cultural innovation in the region. With access to the internet, people throughout the region could tap the almost unlimited information available on oceanographic phenomena, meteorological trends, land use, natural disasters, and so on. If through these activities we can better educate the general public about space activities, we'll be much more likely to be able to achieve our goal of enhancing space utilization. Furthermore, Japan is engaged in several other cooperative projects with countries in the Asia-Pacific region. For example, Japan has worked with Australia at Woomera Base for the development of a new launch vehicle, the Alflex landing experiment, and a solid rocket booster development experiment. We also cooperate with Kiribati for downrange station tracking of rocket launches. In addition, there are many personal exchanges with Asia-Pacific countries, and workshops and symposiums are being held to disseminate the results of research and to exchange views on the various problems confronting the people of this region. In the future, we will encourage a wider range of cooperation and space utilization within the Asia-Pacific region. In the past, NASDAQ's projects are oriented to more like large-scale projects. Reviewing that, we should also develop small-sized projects like small satellites for various applications, targeting better, cheaper, and faster. Balancing the small project and large-scale projects, more enhanced development cooperation will be anticipated. I understand that in this region, most of the countries are currently interested in the application or utilization of Earth observation satellite data. However, for future applications, space environment utilization in the area of microgravity material science, life science, and space technology advancement is also expected. In conclusion, recognizing the wide range of space applications and variety of interests of involved countries, we should continue to organize and conduct active discussions and coordination among the countries. Thank you for your attention.